Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District. First of all, thank you so much, Jim, for being with us. Your reputation precedes you. You're a guy who's a thinker and articulate, and your people are very strong for you, as they say in the biz. So talk to us a little bit about what you see with the sequester.
Well, I think the sequester represents an all-time high in recklessness and stupidity. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that we're in the position we're in right now, even with this Congress, and even with all of its dysfunction. I mean, this is just a mess. The sequester cuts across the board, all programs, all departments, all initiatives that are related to the federal government, and it does so indiscriminately. So you may have a wasteful program that deserves to be cut, but that gets cut the same way as a good program that doesn't deserve to be cut. In fact, it may deserve additional funds. I mean, people are being furloughed. Programs are being shut down. I've talked to constituents who are complaining that Head Start programs are closing down in my district because of the sequester. Transportation monies have been cut back, community development block grant monies. I go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, one of the duties of being in Congress is to try to, evaluate all these programs and all these initiatives individually and decide whether they should be cut, stay the same, or be increased. This indiscriminate across-the-board cutting makes no sense to me, and we need to fix it. And my hope is that, before this year is out, that the President and Congress can come to some sort of accommodation to prevent these continued cuts, which I think are creating a lot of chaos and throwing a lot of people out of work. And again, it's just a rotten way to run a government.
Well, now the Republicans, as well as you and the Democrats, all say the same thing you're saying. It's a stupid thing solution. We should have we know what we should do. We should spend billions more on nuclear submarines. Okay, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
No. But here's. Kind of the problem we're having in the House of Representatives, which is controlled by the Republicans. We have an alternative to sequestration. The Democrats have an alternative to sequestration. There are other people that have alternatives to sequestration, but the leadership of the House of Representatives refuses to let us bring any of them to the floor. I mean, to me, this is an issue urgent enough and important enough where we should be debating it, and we should try to figure out how to get around it. And all I would ask of Speaker Boehner is just schedule a day where we can bring up alternatives to sequestration. You know, let us have our day to debate and to vote on something. You know, if you know your membership has some ideas, bring them to the floor as well. But this is the stuff we ought to be focused on. This is the stuff we ought to be talking about right now. And instead, in Congress, we're dealing with a lot of stuff that doesn't make much of a difference in anybody's life. But this is important enough, we ought to have a discussion and a vote.
So we don't get a farm bill, and we know why we don't get a farm bill, right? Because people don't want those of us who have the least to have the ability to put some food on the table. Now, I mean, if they're going to go to the wall on that issue, obviously, they're not going to permit votes on something like that, are they?
Yeah. Well, look, at some point, they're going to have to understand that, you know, being in the majority means that they have to govern. And it's easy to say no to everything. And I know sometimes it's hard for them to get their members to say yes. But when you're in charge, when you win the majority, you have a responsibility of governing, of making the place work. And with regard to the farm bill, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was heartbroken over that that debate. I mean, I've been a leader on the issue to try to eradicate hunger in this country, and I've been a defender of the SNAP program, which is a new name for food stamps. And, the first go-around on the farm bill, they tried to cut $20.5 billion out of the program, which would have thrown 2 million people off of food stamps. It would have thrown hundreds of thousands of kids off the free breakfast and lunch program. It's just a rotten thing to do to poor people. And that didn't pass because a lot of Democrats said, we can't support that kind of cut. And then you had the Tea Party Republicans who said, you're not cutting enough on food stamps. And by the way, we don't like government programs in general, so we're going to vote against everything. And so they brought up this this new version, which took out the entire nutrition title. So not just SNAP, but you know, monies for food banks, you know, emergency food supplies for senior citizens and children. I mean, it's more than just SNAP. And they said, we'll deal with it on another day. So we moved forward with a farm bill that has some nice generous subsidies for, you know, a lot of special interests. Sushi rice does very well, by the way, under the farm bill that was passed. But for poor people, what they said is, you know, you're not that important. And we fought that. I helped lead the fight against this. We had a very narrow loss, and we're going to continue this fight. But what really bothered me about all of this was the debate and the rhetoric in the debate, not only on the first farm bill, but the one we had last week. To listen to Republican after Republican get up and to basically belittle poor people and to diminish their struggle and to just, you know, and to characterize them in ways that I thought, quite frankly, were offensive. I mean, we had one member of Congress get up and say, all we did was we excluded extraneous stuff from the farm bill. Mm. And, I said, you know, 47 million people in this country who are struggling in poverty, who are on SNAP, are not extraneous people. And by the way, you know, millions and millions of those people on SNAP, they work for a living. They work full time. But they earn so little that they still qualify for SNAP. So we ought to have a bigger discussion on how to end hunger and how to end poverty. But the notion that, you know, somehow, you know, that if you're poor, you don't matter or it's not that big of a deal, I think is offensive. And I don't know, you know, why this issue of ending hunger has become such a polarizing issue. You know, during the 1970s, this was very much a bipartisan issue. My mentor and friend, the late George McGovern and Bob Dole, they teamed up together and they strengthened the food stamp program, and they helped to initiate the WIC program and the school feeding programs and things that, by the way, almost ended hunger in the 1970s. And now we have 50 million people in this country who are hungry. 17 million are children. And, you know, and we have members of Congress on the Republican side getting up and diminishing these people. And I know we're a better country than that.
Jim, I agree with every word you just said, except that I want to know something. You say you don't know. You do know. I mean, you're a profound and bright practicing politician. So why do these folks, I mean, they're human beings. They go to church. They know what this stuff means. We only got 2 minutes, but explain to me the politics of what they get for cutting this stuff out.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think this part of it is ignorance. Many of these people don't talk to people who are on SNAP or who have never visited a food bank. And some of it is just simply that, look, the campaign contributions come from, you know, big special interests. And, you know, poor people don't have a PAC. They don't have a super PAC. You know, you can't count on them to vote. And, I think they feel that there's no political consequence to robbing Peter, in this case the poor, to pay Paul, in this case wealthy farm interests.
Also, when they go back to districts, you know, where they have to face potential primaries, right, and very few people show up, isn't that
right,
part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some, you know, Republicans who are afraid that if they stand up for poor people, they'll be primaried from the right.
Sure.
By a Tea Partier, and they'll lose their seat. I mean, and you know, that's kind of what's been what's happening to moderate Republicans all over the country. Mm. I mean, they're becoming an extinct species. But look, you know, if government is not about helping people who are vulnerable, who are struggling in poverty, who are needy, then I don't know what the hell government's about. Mm. Donald Trump doesn't need government, you know. But you know, some poor family, you know, that's out of work, you know, that's trying to put food on the table for their kids, you know, we ought to be there for them. That's what this government should be about, and we need to find a way to get back to that.
We're out of time, except I want to register my profound disagreement with what you just said. Donald Trump does need government to help him pay for his hotels. I mean, well, people are starving, and that is really just awful. Sorry, I had to do it. Jim McGovern, we love having you on, and when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about the NSA, okay?
Love to talk to you then.